Data from the Department of Justice shows that in 2019, Hawaii had one of its lowest rates of violent crime in the past 30 years. That's despite several months of high-profile shootings and violent robberies. Governor David Ige recently sat down with HPR to discuss crime and the role of mental health. He began by saying he still believes Hawaii is a safe place to live.
Yes, there appears to be an increase, and I do know that part of it is, you know, that media is definitely more accessible. Everybody has a recording device nowadays, and so certainly the incidents get more coverage. But that being said, I do support common sense gun laws. I know that there have been a couple of proposals that at least have surfaced since the tragedy. I have had discussions with Chief Ballard and some of the other police chiefs across the state. They do have vacancies, and it's been a challenge in filling the vacancies. I've had discussions with police chiefs and mayors about what we would need to do to be able to attract and hire the law enforcement officers that we want. So certainly supporting that activity.
How big of a factor is mental health? That's something we hear a lot about, both in Hawaii and nationwide. What changes need to be made either at the state level or the federal level?
I think that we recognize that the criminal justice system, as it traditionally is organized, really is not the best for dealing with mental health or substance abuse. And that those individuals that have mental health issues or substance abuse issues would better be handled outside of that system. And we should focus on providing them treatment and access to services. We have seen success, for example, with a mental health court in the court system, as well as with the law enforcement assisted diversion, as well as the city and county's new Honu project. You know, they're all focused with the traditional systems being aware and connected to treatment and service providers so that we can steer those individuals that need help into treatment or services rather than into the criminal justice system. We do know that that's a better outcome for the individuals involved, as well as to the broader community, because if we can get services to these individuals, we can restore them to being contributing citizens in our community.
But as I understand it, you're constrained as well. You cannot involuntarily commit someone to mental health treatment.
Yes, I mean, I think that is the biggest challenge. You know, we did have a bill last year that tried to make it a little bit easier for us to provide mental health services. You know, we continue to advocate and believe that the quicker we can get people into treatment, whether it be for mental illness or substance abuse, the better our opportunity is for returning them to being contributing citizens.
You said the goal is to return people to being productive members of society, and the agreed upon method of doing that was housing first. We're starting to see experiments with some different approaches. Do you think housing first is still the best way to go, or do you think some of these other methods that are being developed are more promising?
I do believe that it is having the full range of services available. Housing first and getting individuals into permanent supportive housing is the long-term solution for homelessness. The challenge is the cost involved with producing and providing supporting services is significant, but you know, we continue to get more of those facilities available. I view the Honu and the Lee Diversion Project, for example, as really ways that we can better facilitate identifying individuals who need help and then really encouraging them to receive the help. As you know, the hardcore homeless continually refuse services, and that's been the biggest challenge.
What is the best course of action for addressing that problem? Is it expansion of vagrancy laws and sit-and-lie bans as has been opted for by the city and county of Honolulu? Is it more of a law enforcement problem, or is there some other way of dealing with it?
I mean, I do think that it's a twofold. One is really generating more housing that's affordable, you know, and I do think that this commitment to affordable housing in this session would go a long way to accelerating that development. We are beginning to see several affordable rental projects come online statewide, and I think that all of these actions to create affordable housing would be helpful because we would have a place to place all of these homeless individuals. I do think it's a combination of a couple of things. Clearly, law enforcement being involved and those homeless individuals, if they understand that it is about receiving treatment or having to deal with being arrested and potentially going to jail, you know, hopefully that would encourage them to accept the services. And, you know, and we have had very heartwarming stories about homeless individuals with mental illness who refused treatment. And when they finally accepted treatment, you know, their lives have been changed. So I think as we get more of these affordable housing projects online, there will be more options, and hopefully they'll recognize that it's better to be off the streets than on the streets.